You are listening to the Personal Development Project, an initiative seeking to make being us just that little bit easier. Today, I'm joined by two of my friends to discuss a philosophy called Skeetism. We leave little unsaid, so let's hop right into it. Enjoy. Okay, and we are live. So, welcome back to the fourth now season of the Personal Development Project. I am joined with two of my good friends. One I met at uni, one I met at school, that is Marley and Raj, both who are involved with the PD project. So I'll give them a couple seconds to give a little introduction. We'll start with you, Raj. What is your role at the PD project then?
Sure, yeah. So I'm the people manager at the PD project, essentially implementing and instigating people's paths and the sort of self-growth journeys through physical and sort of face-to-face interactions. Yeah.
Perfect. And yourself, Marley?
Hi, I'm Chief Community and Culture Officer at PD Project. So new responsibilities now, so I guess we'll go with that. I guess I'm responsible for the marketing strategies of helping 1 million people find themselves and their path. So I'm directly responsible for at the PD project.
Not quite just the marketing strategies, the whole how we get there. How we get there. We had a chat the other day. I think we have a much clearer direction of what it is that the PD project is about. But we have that aim, which is kind of in line, which is helping 1 million people find themselves and their path to make being them just a little bit easier. But we kind of needed a dedicated, someone's going to take what we have and actually shove us in a direction to get there. So there's a little bit of a management team that's going to help out with that. But that's the trio that joined you today. And this podcast was initially going to be about just that, the 1 million mission, a bit of a look into, okay, who are we? What is it that we're about? And what is it that we're trying to do? Until it took a slightly different tone when I was on the chat with you, with Marley, a couple of days ago. What happened then? What were we talking about?
What were we talking about? We're talking about what is the PD project? It's kind of the big question that's been on everybody's lips that have been involved with the PD project. What is this? It looks to be able to do great things, but we don't know what it is and we can't get behind it.
We can't get behind it. Ouch. That hurt. I didn't quite realize it was like that.
No, of course not. But we needed a bit of clarity. The only man that could do that is the man that, you know, it originated from. Mr. Eunice Skeet. And I guess it turned into the PD project is a project dedicated to furthering skeetism, which is...
Okay, you've thrown us in at the deep end.
Yeah.
You just dropped the bombshell. Okay. This was a bit of a nerve-wracking podcast for me initially until I did some thinking about it. I don't like speaking in many of the ways that I had to speak to get through that conversation with Marley. I can speak like that in private, but the public domain was very different. And we were going round and round in circles on, okay, exactly what is the PD project? It's not adequate, I think, to say it's just a podcast or it's just a blog or it's an online community. There was something deeper. And we'll get into that bombshell that you just dropped, Skeetism, we bitch. we'll get into that. But I think the path towards that will help to illustrate exactly what this project is. The path that we took over the last, is it 9 months or so? I'd say this path in particular, Marley, I've chatted to Raj about it. We've all had chats. Started around December last year, when I kind of started to see, okay, personal development and what we're doing at the PD Project as a tool, as a medium to try and really help myself out, but help others out at scale. What was it? What was that chat, Marley?
Are we talking about December? December 2020. Okay, December 2020. It was kind of a seminal moment for myself. I was in a very dark phase of my life, and Eunice just sent me a voice note. I must have been on my bed, just the curtains drawn for about a week, just trying to get through the trenches the best way I can. And my man just sent me an audacious voice note. with a lot of gumption, a lot of confidence behind it, but...
Confidence, naivety, stupidity.
Oh, yeah. all of those things, but something very inspiring in that. In a man saying, out of all of the people in his circles, he believes he's the man to make the world a better place. You don't really hear people speaking like that at all.
This was I've given this story of Marley several times. I don't know what it was. I was back at home in London in December, and I was listening to someone that was inspiring me like no one else did. A guy called Inky Johnson, who's a public speaker, and he was just talking about making things better, being the sort of person that makes their environments better on almost unlimited scales. He came from a sports background, and I was in the shower and I just found myself crying. I was just overwhelmed. I didn't quite know what, and all I could think was make it better. Get changed, go outside, and I start recording this voice note to Marley. And I find myself saying midway through, I don't know, out of all of the people that I know, if I had to choose one who was most likely to make the world a better place, it'd be me. And that was enough, but I didn't quite stop there. And I said, actually, and I think if you asked all of the people that know me, who do they think is most likely to make the world a better place? Most would say me. And that was a bit of a profound moment, because I'm standing there thinking, how far up where the sun doesn't shine must my head be right now to hear me say that? But I genuinely believed it. And I said, Marley, all right, after this, I want you to have a think about who you'd answer for that question. And if it's not me, let me know exactly who it is, because I want to dedicate the rest of my life to whatever cause they're on. And from there, Raj, I started speaking to you similar about not knowing who you are becoming, because I'd looked previously, and I wasn't really living a life for anyone that was really trying to help anyone out at scale, and there was a bit of a fear that was like, just in case that stupidity was correct, surely there's more that I need to be doing. Surely I need to be asking more of myself. There was a bit of that leaning into that uncertainty of, I really just do not know what I'm destined for, what role I have to play in getting us to a better world, dare I say. What was that, Rod?
Are you talking about, as you said, sort of falling into the unknown and sort of taking responsibility of something that you are still unsure about. Because, you know, as it were, becoming yourself, becoming more of yourself, and, you know, seeking truth, I feel like there's a whole load of responsibility and honesty you need to have between yourself, especially, you know, primarily. As you said, you know, saying things like, out of all the people that I know, I'll probably be the one to change the world. Now, obviously,
it still sounds stupid. It still sounds stupid.
Right, this is right. Like, but you have to be honest, after. Right? It's a whole load of honesty. Yeah, you know, you have to take away your that ego front and just, you know, be honest with yourself and sort of step into that realm of responsibility, into the unknown.
One of the things it eventually spiraled into is, listen, I don't actually know if it will be me, as Raj was touching on.
I like this a lot.
Just in case it is, I need to step up. One of the ways we illustrated that, Marley, in a chat we had afterwards, is no one really knows. I'm just going to drop some names. I hope I'm allowed to drop names of my friends. Say it's Marley Gunter, say it's Rajan Patel, say it's one of the community specialists, Jade, Alana, Ellie, there's Ella, Diana, all of the people that some of the people that I've been in recent contact with the PD Project. I've got friends, Malik, Steph, Carmen, say any of them were supposed to do it, were on the road to be your next, say, Martin Luther King. And if we call them Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King calls up Eunice Skeet. And Eunice Skeet isn't really asking too much from him. And he's like, yeah, I've got this speech that I want to make. I think it may inspire some people, but I'm not really too sure about it. And he quits. And the I Have a Dream speech is never made. And the world has never changed in that way. I was saying it's stupid to actually think I'm going to be that guy, but just in case, surely I should be asking just an ounce more of myself. In case I can meet whoever Marley actually thinks is most likely to make the world a better place and help him or her out, just that one step more. That's kind of where the thoughts took us. Raj, you were saying something.
I was going to say something outrageous here, right?
Please do.
Since you don't know whether you're supposed to be the next Martin Luther King, and you're saying, oh, just in case I am supposed to be, I might as well, you know, stay committed, stay hopeful, working hard towards it, right? And the common theme is, I feel like it's this idea of creation. If you genuinely believe that just in case, you know, I might be, or just in case I am destined to change the world, then I'll stick to this thing, you know, I'll stick with it. Then that's a form of you simply just, I feel like it's a form of you believing in it. And as a result, the most likely outcome will be just that. You know, it's a matter of how long you stick with it, right? People will give up thinking, this is not meant for me, or nah, this speech will, you know. So, you know, people say, oh, you create your own destiny, this, that, and the other, right? You know, there's some truth to that, I'd say. Somewhat.
Midway through the mini crisis that ensued, after I realized I thought that way about myself, I kind of realized that was the only reason why I answered that question.
Okay.
I think it is the person, in my case, the naive fool, who allows himself to think that way about himself, that is the most likely to achieve whatever it is that they're prospecting about. I don't even know if that makes sense.
No, it does.
And
it
with
does.
Time, sorry?
It does make sense, yeah.
With time, I was starting to think, okay, if I can use this in any way, maybe to motivate, maybe to uplift, rather than just holding on to this for myself. And I think we've come full circle with that Marley over the last 6 months with Skeetism. I'd want everyone to be thinking like that. I had a conversation with a friend not too long ago. I asked them that question: out of all the people that you know, who do you think is most likely to make the world a better place? And I said, you have to actually know these people, not people on your phone screen or on your Twitter feed. And they answered, maybe my sister, maybe my brother. And afterwards I asked, why not yourself? And there wasn't really that much of an answer. And again, we'll unpack, I think, what the PD Project is about. And if I'm being more accurate, what I'm trying to bring to the PD Project through Skeetism is to strive towards being in a position within yourself where you can answer myself, where you can actually look and say the way I'm going about being myself, the way I'm going about leading this life, I genuinely do believe would do nothing but bring a world of good, hopefully to the entire world. But yeah, there's a bit more to fill out, to flesh out in that story. One of the things that I was chatting to you about, Marley, one of the things that happened as a probably a direct consequence of that voice note that I sent you was, okay, I need to mobilize this in some way. I need some kind of a goal. And I wrote up something called the 1 million mission. And I sent it to you to have a little bit of a review. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened.
Okay. Wow.
That's what I was asking myself, okay. As I've said many a time to Marley, what are you going to do to get us there? If it is supposed to be me, I was like, right, we need some kind of aim. We need some kind of vision. Why don't we try and help out 1 million people? So Marley, you can throw the question right back at me if you want. What is a 1 million mission for you?
Obviously, there's the standard, definition you can find on a website. You know, we're here to help 1 million people find themselves and their path. But I think it's something much more meaningful than that. I think it's finding yourself, helping other people to just solve most of their personal problems. Because I don't know, I definitely think that a lot of the problems that occur in the world are caused by an inability or a reluctance to solve our personal problems. And if we have the confidence and the faith and the belief to, you know, just believe that we can solve just maybe one of our personal problems. You know, ideally, we'd love for it to be something that you continue through your lifetime. But everybody is on different journeys. But that's what I see myself doing as, you know, in my role. Generally, if it's just one problem, ideally, I personally want to be out there helping at least 1 million, ideally 8 billion people and counting, but at least help 1 million people. Just, okay, you've got the confidence here that you've solved this personal problem. Usually when you do that, you've got the confidence to tackle another one, and you can just keep doing that on for a lifetime, I think.
That's it, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
So are you almost suggesting, I think I kind of feel similar, most of the problems that people have are personal. I wouldn't want to be putting words in your mouth. I obviously, some people are victims of war. Some people really do have it tough. There are things that exist out of your locus of control when you can't really just say, oh yes, that's a personal problem. But you're almost saying, for the day to day, for most people, most of the problems that they face in their life can be considered personal. And what you're searching for is maybe a bit of a tool set to cross problems off of that list.
Yeah, 100%. Just at least just a toolkit for the day. If not, you know, that's all we ever have is the day.
Yeah.
You know, we can bang on about 1 million people, but frankly, it's all we have today. And it's, what are the things every, just today, not every day, sorry, just today that we can do to maybe solve one personal problem that we have.
Mm.
And ideally at the PD Project, find a community of people that are doing the same thing that you're doing.
Mm.
Albeit in different countries, different streets, different situations, but this is a brother in arms here. This is a sister in arms. This is your Tom, Dick and Harriet, you know, everywhere. Your Manolo in Bolivia, Sarah in Spain, it's wherever. You know, just you can find a group of people that are just today trying to make their lives a little bit easier.
Okay. And you said you dropped one of our phrases, trying to make our lives a little bit easier. Explain that one to me.
In our kind of reluctance or our struggles to solve our own personal problems, we cause a lot of discontent and a lot of suffering for ourselves.
Could I give you an example? Could I throw you in at the deep end?
Yeah.
Right. I brought Marley on board as a manager at the PD Project in January. And I've known him for a while. It was an interesting experience because I brought him on board because I knew he had the vision, because I knew he had the ability. What I didn't also realise I was bringing on board was the world's biggest obstacle called Marley Gunter that would get involved in the way of everything that he was trying to do. And there were simple things where I'd seen him do it before. Marley runs events. I'd seen him do it before effortlessly. He'd just say, oh yeah, I started it about 1 a.m, da, 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 take a look. And I'd be like, okay, wow, this is fantastic. But when it came to the PD Project, when it came to this domain, he was struggling. He was genuinely struggling. And one of the things that I think we've done, does this illustrate your point well enough, is in whatever the hell it is that we do over here, in the conversations that we have, in the ideals that we try and discover, develop and implement, allowing some of those obstacles to fall off, allowing actually being Marley Gunter and doing whatever it is that Marley Gunter is doing to be a bit easier. Is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, man, it was hell, genuinely. It was probably one of the most difficult professional experience. Nah, the most difficult professional experience I've ever had in my life. Just anybody out there, if you want to work at the PD Project, like,
be careful. We do have open doors, I can assure you it won't be this hard.
But it was difficult. It was really difficult. And I was saying to Eunice earlier before, a lot, it was kind of like a split. I felt like I was split in two. There was the person I knew could solve this problem.
Mm.
And then there was the person I was in that moment that was just like, oh my God, I can't do this. This guy, oh no. And it's just, you'd make your life a little bit easier if you just...
You're in your head.
Okay.
Yeah. You're in your head. And it is trying to find, okay, that map and that path to ease, I think, to stop. Oh, I can relate in so many ways. We'll get onto it. Part of it was my objection to ever call it skeetism. You just get in the way of yourself and all of the things that you know you need and want to do. All of the things that you know you need and want to say. And I was kind of thinking, okay, what does the personal development project and maybe some of the stuff that we think about have to do with trying to make the world a better place or trying to help a million people? And I was looking back at some of the things that I've gone through in the past years, and it wasn't the actual event that was the most difficult thing. It was always how I was responding to it, how I was internalizing myself. It was always what I made of the event that was the most difficult thing, that caused the most shame, that tortured me, basically. That tortured me. And I think if I can discover a way of lessening that, hopefully to near nil, I would be absolutely, totally confident that would make my life a better life. That would make me so much more pleasant. That would make things so much easier. That would do a world of good for me. And I think in the process, if I can become that person, I'd have a lot to give. I'd have a lot to share. I'd be in a particularly good position to help others to do similar. And I think if you can do that for one person, if that rule applies for one person, I think it could well apply for 1 million people. And I think it does. I think if I can find a way to sort myself out, to construct myself in a way which is conducive primarily to just making being me easier, to just stop being my worst enemy, stop getting in the way of myself, stop doing so many things that doesn't serve me, that detracts from me and others, I can transform my life. And if I can make personal development, that's what I see that as, if I can make personal development public, as Mairead, I love her for saying that, I can bring others on this journey, and hopefully with a huge dose of luck, we can bring 1 million people on that journey. And I think if you can have that effect for 1 million people, you've made a very, very, very good start to doing a world of good. And I think that, in a nutshell, is what the 1 million mission was all about. It was, I'm not an NGO. I can't end world hunger. I can't really make outrageously large moves. I'm not a politician, but what I can do is try and sort things out for myself so that it works better for me. And I think it'll do a world of good for me. And if we can mobilize that at scale, I think I could do a world of good for the world. Raj, I feel like I'm almost neglecting you.
No, not at all. I'm just...
How does that sit with you?
I'm just listening. Yeah, I think what I've learned over the last 6 months, especially, is this idea that people, including myself, don't learn by just being told what to do. You know, we learn by looking, we learn by observing, we learn by being in contact with a person who's gone through something as similar to you, or is going through something, or solving problems within themselves, which you can relate to. So if we apply that to, you know, what we're doing here, then essentially, by sort of taking those necessary steps to developing ourselves, to sorting out those inner sort of issues, things that are holding us back, the hurdles that we have mentally. That's the best way to help the next person, because you essentially are becoming someone who can be observed by another individual, and as a result can help them on similar situations that they're facing. And the reason this is more effective, I'd say, than, say, for example, a list of rules you need to follow, or a list of, things or steps to take to solve a problem, is because, as I said at the start, humans, we learn by observing. We learn much more than just from sight and sound, you know. I think
which is what I think makes the community essential.
Exactly.
Is why I think this personal development needs to be done publicly. A lot of these conversations, a lot of the articles that I've written, I don't really want to share. Sharing means being seen. And these are all of the imperfect parts of myself that I'd rather no one, including myself, ever has to see. These are all of the unglamorous struggles that I go through that I would hope no one would have to see. But no one is helped if I don't do that. And I think definitely the other day, I was 2 days ago, I told Marley something along the lines of, yep, this project, yep, the person that I may need to become to achieve any of this. I can't do it on my own. I need you to help me, probably by force, to get there. I need to be able to fall back on someone and depend on someone. And we'll touch on it again. That's why I think I actually can dedicate myself to this. That's why I'm very grateful for bringing other people into the PD project. For the first 2 years, it was just me. And then making it about a million people, a world, because that motivates me more than just sorting things out for myself. What do you think, Marley? You're obviously you're in the role of community specialist. This, you live and breathe this stuff.
We're trying. Ideally, I'd say it's what I'm personally looking for. It's what I'm personally looking for in my life, to find people that are, you know, trying to solve their personal problems. I don't know. It feels like there isn't many, but I know there are. It feels like there isn't, but I know there are. And the steps, I guess, we're trying to do at the PD project is just make ourselves visible. This is what we do. This is why we're doing it. Come through. Please join us if it feels like, you know, it's something you can attest to. You know? There's no... Yeah. It's not a cult. It's not a dictatorship. It's just a group of people just trying to find themselves and their path and just help each other do similar, you know.
You do it already, innit? Yeah, like, everyone does it already anyway. You might as well join.
You might as well join. I hadn't thought about it that way. One of the results of putting it in writing, the 1 million mission, one of the things that came round, again, this was another conversation. This is a recurring theme. Me and Molly have had a lot of conversations over the past couple of years. There was another phone call that I had with yourself, Molly, and I believe it started somewhere just with, like, this may have been early January or something like that. It may have even been before. You were just like, Eunice, you're kind of in cuckoo land with regards to all of this lockdown and stuff. You kind of are just sitting at your laptop doing your degree, you're writing a few articles. I don't really feel like you're in touch with what's going on an emotional. Obviously, I knew what was going on, but just, it hasn't hurt you. It doesn't seem to have hurt you like it's hurt others. And that was almost exactly what I needed to hear. I kind of was on autopilot, just getting on with everything. I was like, okay, I can't really deal with all of that. Can't really solve all of that. I still know what deadlines are on my plate tomorrow. Let me focus on that for now. And I was almost brought to tears after you said that, because it sunk in. It was just, wow. We are hurting. People are hurting. People are going through a lot. There's a lot of people in need of help. And that wasn't something that I was oblivious to. I do like to think that I help others. But I wasn't quite feeling it the way I think Marley was feeling it at the time. One of the consequences of that, to make it a bit more real, was conceptualizing Tom, Dick and Harriet. What does Tom, Dick and Harriet represent for yourself, Marley?
Tom, Dick and Harriet, it represents my mum. It represents my mum. It's a difficult conversation to have, but I'm blessed to be able to have it, because it takes up every ounce of trying to solve my personal problem. So we're doing it here live. I'm trying to... I relate to so much to what Eunice said about being in, you know, own your own world during lockdown. And there's a reason why I said it to Eunice, because I was low-key projecting. there was a certain amount of projection going on, because I feel like that same claim could have been thrown to me. I was just going through lockdown, just puddling through, making music. Yeah, sun's quite nice today. Oh, yeah, like, it's really good. There's no one on the streets. Yeah, perfect. You know, you can get a nice workout in. You know, you're just focusing on what you can worry about and what's in your locus of control. And conceptualizing Tom, Dick and Harriet into my mum makes it a bit more real. Because I can't let my mum down. I can't. I have a responsibility to change and the power to do so. So it's a must. And that Tom, Dick and Harriet is my mum. And if I can just help my mum.
How does Tom, Dick and Harriet relate to the 1 million mission though?
There's a Tom, Dick and... My mum is everywhere.
Is it
my
that...
My mum is just a woman.
You can conceptualise 1 million. It's a nice big number. But like, who's a million people? It kind of just goes over your head. And one of the things, again, it's another page on the website, Our Dream, was to say, as you touched on earlier, everyone does this, but you're almost searching for those people. Tom, Dick and Harriet are an envisagement of others out there who are searching for similar, who may, again, we don't know if we have the solutions, but just in case we do, who may need to hear what we're going to say in an article, what we're going to say in a podcast, the type of support that we're going to try and give when we run some of these PD project events, and it may help them out immensely. And that was different. That was, again, another seminal moment in this journey over the last, 9 months or so. Because it went from, 1 million, that is hugely inspiring, sounds fantastic, gives me a direction, a goal, to, we really do need to find these people. Tom, Dick and Harriet could be anyone sitting anywhere. Sitting, Tom maybe sitting in their accommodation in Leeds, just wanting someone to give them some motivation, to give them a little bit of an uplifting message, to try and help them through maybe a problem that they're going through. And for me, Tom, Dick and Harriet had a meaning. And it's interesting. Marley, you mentioned your mum. My one is my sister, the person I really am trying to help out as a consequence of helping myself out, sorting myself out, as we were talking about before, of trying to be positive for myself and for my environment, and uplifting for myself and hence for others. As you said, Raj, trying to be someone who can help others by virtue of them just being present, just being observed, them just sharing more of themselves with you. Raj, I had a little chat with you. Yeah,
I was going to say something, right?
I was going to say, I had a little chat with you. Feel free to, I don't know what you were going to say, feel free to say that before you answer this question. I had a little chat with you before we hopped on this recording.
That's right.
And I proposed similar, and I asked you, okay, who's your Tom, Dick and Harriet? Raj was familiar with the mission and that conceptualization, that metaphor. And I think you replied your sister as well.
Yes, so
I'll leave it there. I know you have something.
Yeah, no. It was literally the same thing. So I'll tell you a little bit of backstory first. So about, I want to say 6, 7, 8 months ago, I was so hell bent on helping my sister, love herself again. Sort of fight her in her insecurities, face those mental battles every day, because it was very visible to me that she was going down a path where she was neglecting herself, etc. Anyway, so what I did right initially was I set out to write I put her personality on a Word document, and I started to note down the different things I wanted to help her with, right? I started to write down steps. I started to do, this, that, and the other for her to follow. This was the completely wrong approach. I found that I was, faced with almost the same hurdles that I was trying to fix within her, I hadn't dealt with myself. And as a result, How could I give advice on something that I hadn't addressed first? And this is why I feel like my Tom, Dick and Harriet is my sister, because not only am I, helping her through, my personal endeavors, but but also I'm sorting things out within myself that I need to address. And once I do that, I'm much more capable to help my Tom, Dick and Harriet. And I feel like, I genuinely feel like once I've sort of set that into motion, once I take those steps, then I can see her possibly doing something similar. We talk about a 1 million mission, right? It's this exponential effect, right? We do it to one, two people. We help one or two people, get the stones rolling. They do the same for another two people, it sort of multiplies. And, before you know it, we have this huge community of flipping of warriors, people just, just actively every day pursuing truth,
pursuing hopefully making being you just that little easier, bit easier. Yeah. I do think
and loving it more
when we can understand ourselves, when we have a better relationship with these parts of ourselves that cause us trouble. Fundamentally what that is doing is just making it easier to wake up and be Eunice, to look in the mirror and be Eunice, to argue with my family.
Eunice, can I interject you, mate?
To succeed and fail as
can
Eunice.
I interject
yes,
you, mate?
Marley, please.
Can we have some more radical honesty from you? There's a lot of faffing about, we didn't bring you on this podcast to be doing nonsense. Like, genuinely, Eunice has a lot of conversations with me that I feel like the world needs to hear. And why I said that he needs to come on with Skeetism is because it's holding a stage of his development back. There's a Skeet that needs to be jumped into for the world's benefit. So I'd like to see more of that. I need to see more gumption. I need to see, this is a man that's passionate about what he does. And I feel like he isn't doing enough justice to that at the moment. This is a man that bleeds. This is selfless. This is altruism. We need more.
You asked for more radical honesty from Raj. What can he offer you?
Raj.
Sorry, Rip.
Where have you been the past 6 months?
I thought he sounded pretty honest to me. He sounded like he was saying it how it was to me.
Oh, I'm talking about you, Eunice. Oh, yeah.
Talking about me. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
no, Raj is there. Raj is doing this thing.
I don't know if this is quite radical honesty, but the next thing I wanted to say, I think just to illustrate this point a bit more, just why this was essential for me, another lockdown story. We may all remember the evening, but I remember an evening when, was this January? Was this sometime in January? Did we go into another lockdown in January? Was that when it happened?
I can't remember.
I think it was around January. Oh, I have no idea. It may have been before Christmas. I don't know. I was over at a friend's just before lockdown, and I knew Boris was due to be announcing another lockdown. And the news came through. One of my friends, Adam, confirmed it. And another friend, Jade, I think her name was it Jade? Gets a call from a mutual friend. Another one, Canon knows her. She went to our school, Canon. Just checking in, just being like, obviously, this news has dropped. How do you feel about that? And my mind was blown at that moment. I was, again, usual Eunice, just getting on with things, nothing really to do. You still have to do your uni, still have to keep stimulated. Was taken aback and was just thinking, okay, that's how you be a proper supportive friend. And I went home that evening and I think I messaged what is a lot for me. But a lot of my friends just being like, obviously the news came in, how are you feeling about that? Are you okay? Is there anything that I can do? And one of the people that I messaged was my sister. And I think she's just entered my mom's room behind me. So I'm slightly embarrassed as I said this. Obviously, she knows the story. But one of the people that I messaged was my sister. And one of the things that she said was, I'm not going to lie, that news was very difficult for me. And part of the reason why it was very difficult for me is because as much as we are... There was another dimension to illustrate the metaphorical feeling of trapped, I think, that my sister was feeling. She was saying, as much as we are literally confined to our households, as much as there's that physical limit to what we can do, that's what it feels like in general in my life at the moment. And lockdown just makes it harder. I feel trapped within myself, within my life, within everything that's going on. And that's really difficult. And news of another lockdown just makes it harder. And I didn't quite know what I could do to help out. And I still don't quite know what I could do to help out. Me and my sister were not even on speaking terms at the minute, after a couple of disagreements. And the one thing that I can cling on to is I think in doing this, in trying, as I referenced earlier, if I can make it a tiny bit easier to be me, I can conduct myself a bit better across all domains. When I'm trying to show that I care, as I wrote an article about, when I'm arguing with my sister and I want to not have so much pent up, I don't know, anger, hate, confusion within myself, as I want to improve myself across all domains, I think one of the things that can allow me to try and be there for whoever I need to be there for, whoever your Tom, Dick and Harriet is, to try and further this cause, is just that, is just working on yourself, is just doubling down on my principles, doubling down on what it is that we try to do here. That made it really real. That made it really real. There's a symbolism, it's interesting, that we've all kind of done, which is, yes, there's that abstract 1 million. Then we add a layer of realism with the Tom, Dick and Harriet, but that Tom, Dick and Harriet really does represent someone close to us. And one of maybe the best gifts that I could give them, regardless of the circumstance we and the circumstance they find themselves in, is giving me a slightly better unit. is putting in some of those reps so that I feel a bit better about myself. I conduct myself a bit better. I live my values a bit more authentically. So yeah, that was a lot of speaking from me. But is that the radical honesty you were after, Mr. Gunter?
Yeah, it's a start. Thank you. Nah, yeah. I think that real element that both of you guys have brought to that is what we want to double down with at the PD project going forward. Really want to make it a family, PD family. This is culture. I think I remember a conversation I had with you, Eunice, about what were we talking about? Searching for home. I think we came to a conclusion that a lot of people are... Well, it started with the conclusion that I felt like I didn't have a home. I was lost. I'm not visible enough in my life. I'm not living as authentic to my values as I'd like. I feel like I'm not bringing my true self to the table enough. And it's bringing me a lot of pain and it's bringing me a lot of confusion. I just feel lost in myself. And then I brought this to Eunice and we came to a conclusion that I wasn't alone. That was, it's probably a lot of people going through that. Looking for home, looking for a family.
a home within their community, but also a home within themselves. Also a sanctuary within themselves where they can feel comfortable, where they can look around and see what it is that is them, and love it and know that it loves them back. And that ties into one of the strongest values I think that we do have. We're trying to flesh them out. It's quite difficult to actually articulate these, but there are some values that we're working on. One of the strongest ones was almost birthed out of an article that I wrote, The Conversations We're Not Having. And that is radical honesty. And Marley made reference to it earlier. It's speaking for the parts of ourselves that we don't usually speak for. For the parts of ourselves that we mute, maybe because we don't have the courage, maybe because we don't like that part of ourselves. And one of the things, the conversations we weren't having was actually, I think we need to develop a relationship for the parts of ourselves that we wish didn't exist, the parts of ourselves that no one can see, the parts of ourselves that we confide to the shadows that fill us with shame. I think we need to try and develop a bit of a relationship with those such that we can invite them to stand in the light, such that we can be, obviously, there'll be things that we've done that we wish we hadn't, that we don't necessarily condone, but such that you can look back at the person that you were, despite all of the mistakes that they made, and you can say, okay, I stand for that person, I'm proud of that person. That person was an essential juncture in this journey, that is me. And you can look at the person that you are now, and you can say similar, I stand for that person, I speak for that person, I'm proud of that person. And similar with the person that you see yourself becoming. And one of the things that I was saying is, this, I think it made its way into one of the three skeetist ideals, if we do touch on skeetism, was being there for the person that we are now. And I think when we do that, when you can be proud of our past, our present and our future, we can be there for the people that other people are now. And I think that is one of the biggest things that we can do to actually help be the solution rather than the cause for our own problems and for other people's problems. I'm aware I've spent a lot of this time just talking. I kind of did tell Marley, feel free to just pick my mind and interrogate with me with this one. So maybe I'm supposed to be doing a lot of talking.
Should we talk over
any comments? How does that sit with you two?
Should we talk over a couple of the ideals for skeetism?
How does this all come together? Again, if we almost go full circle, Marley was saying, okay, what is it that we're doing at the PD Project? What are we? And I couldn't really give him an answer. We were saying things and it's like, yeah, but it doesn't feel right. Until I said this was almost like off record, we've been talking about this, Marley put a label on it, just the way I try to think my philosophy, the way I try to live my life of skeetism. We've been talking about skeetism. If we're being real, I think the PD Project is a manifestation of skeetism, is a mobilization of that set of ideals, of that way of trying to live within yourself and within your community. So that's what I'd say. But I'd never say that because I hate that word. I hate that name. There was a lot of resistance. And one of the, I think the first ideal, the one that we've kind of been touching on, is, I've written it up on the website, that we all look in the mirror and see someone, a personality, a set of ideals, a way of life that has been constructed in such a way that we would be proud to share it, proud to put our name on it, and proud to genuinely believe that in doing so we'd make the world a better place. And I guess especially that point, proud to put our name on it, if I was being true to what I actually believed in, that meant I couldn't run away from outlandishly naming something after yourself. And I did have to call me that. And I was telling Marley, the only other person to name something after themselves was Marley. He was talking to me about Marxism. And I had nothing but respect. And I was like, yep, I want this. I want to see this. I want to understand it. I'd love it. And I was looking back again. We could go through the list of people that I've been speaking with at the PD Project. If Raj came to me and said, this is what I'm about, I want to put my name on it. There's an ism there because I'm proud of it within myself. And I genuinely think that if I shared it, it would do a world of good. I'll be like, sign me up. When do I need to start preaching? I'd be all over that. So if I was really being true to myself, I had to back the name, didn't I? I had to actually call it Skeetism rather than shying away from it. Raj, I asked you this on the phone. Yeah. There's a danger with a couple of things. When you send voice notes speaking about being most likely to make the world a better place,
yeah,
when you name a philosophy or whatever it is after yourself, of getting lost in your ego finding your head constantly shoved way too far up where the sun doesn't shine. Is that what you see when you look at this?
No, not at all. The reason I'd say that is because like I'd say each of us are, and this goes for, you know, anyone, everyone has their own ism. They have their own sort of, you know, rite of passage, things that they allow themselves to do, things that they don't, things that, you know, morals that they follow, rules that they follow, and their own sort of, how can I put it, battle, essentially, that they're, you know, conducting, whether internally, externally, whatever. Now, if you are confident in your ability to fight this battle, I'm just calling it a battle for name's sake, but like, if you're confident in your ability to combat ability, then there's no reason why you shouldn't address it as an ism, really, as a way of conducting oneself through this process. And as a result, you know, sure, like, you know, from an outsider's perspective, it does look like, you know, you have your head way up there, but once you start,
oh, I know it does. that's the biggest fear about it. That's why I was like, nah, Marley, we could never call it that.
Well, who cares, bro? Like, you know, in yourself whether you're acting, whether it's an ego response or it's natural, logical, genuine, you know, pathway. I feel like that's just a natural reaction.
I agree. So in general, we've titled this podcast An Introduction to Skeetism. I think we've given a bit of a context. I know it's been kind of abstract. We haven't actually got into the specifics of exactly what it is that we're trying to do, this and that. Partly because we don't have enough time. But in general, what I think Skeetism, if you want, is what I'm trying to apply myself to at the PD Project, is to construct myself in such a way that I can be proud of every part of myself, that I can speak for every part of myself, so that there's not parts that I'm ashamed of, that I'm never honest about, that I lie from omission mostly. No one can see me for that person. No one can see me for the way I act, the way I respond, the way I speak, the way I think about that. And I think it's wanting to do that personal development so publicly that I'll put my name to it and I'll share it with others and I'll let them do similar. And I'll let them do similar because I believe that's what I need to do to sort myself out, to make being me just that little bit easier. And therefore, I think it's one of the most effective tools that I have to try and bring about difference, to try and bring about change, to try and bring about benefit to those in my community. That is Skeeterism. That is a place that I'd love everyone in my circle, everyone globally, to get to. And the only way maybe for us to get there is if I embark on the near impossible journey of trying to get there myself, which I think is made so much more possible with people around me, with the PD Project community. So that's what's going on here. This is season 4. Crazy that we've already had 3 seasons. And if we had to say, what is it that we're doing at the PD Project? What is it that we do? You know, we have a podcast, we have a blog, we have some stuff on the website, we were running some workshops. It's trying to mobilize that cause. It's trying to actualize that fundamentally within ourselves, but as a response within our community, within society, within hopefully the entire planet. Marley, maybe to see things to a conclusion. There's an analogy that I want you to prep me up for, the cleaning analogy. but I'm gonna go through that roundabout way, and I'm gonna ask you, okay? Yep, personal development. Yep, the PD Project. Yep, Skeeterism. It sounds all good. Why should I actually, if I want to do a world of good, why should I invest in this rather than other more tangible things, other more feasible things? If I really want to help my mother, my sister, my family, Tom at Leeds, why should I work on myself? Why should I not give to another charity? Why should I not try and end homelessness, any type of prejudice or inequalities? Why is this cause essential?
Why is this cause essential? I think organizations like Black Lives Matter and organizations that are fighting for equal rights and poverty and homelessness, they are causes that we should be getting behind. They are causes that, you know, are standing for the right things. Why you should come to the PD Project and join the 1 Million mission is because we believe that a lot of those problems that those organizations are trying to kind of combat are caused by an inability to solve most of our personal problems. So if we're going to go with the sweeping analogy, it's like, I'd rather do a deep clean than
I like that.
A clean every, I don't know, every couple of weeks. Like,
you'd rather do a
deep clean. Ideally, we want to be in a world where Black Lives Matter and all of these homeless organizations don't need to exist, because we've gained a toolbox that's helping us to find ourselves and our path, and in doing so, just maybe a lot of those other problems, just maybe, I don't know, idealistic maybe, but
okay,
we hope.
Can I check if I've interpreted you correctly?
Yeah, of course, please.
So is it let me think. Is it, to run with the cleaning analogy that we used the other day, there's a lot of dirt. There's a lot of stuff, untidiness, unkeptness in the planet. And say addressing homelessness, say addressing, as you said, Black Lives Matter, racial, sexual, any type of inequality, is one of those cleaning options. It may be the mop, it may be the Hoover, it may be the duster. We're not saying down any of those tools. Is what you're saying is, for me personally, and if we spread this out to everyone, if we can get it to the place that the individuals have the tools and the disposition to clean up after themselves as they go along, to make sure that they leave every environment slightly cleaner, slightly better than they entered it, would have less need for a deep clean, would have less need for huge causes and all of the things that I think we still do support. But at least I could sit there and say, if I look at my interaction with every environment that I'm in, I was part of the solution rather than the cause. Am I way off?
No, I was... Yeah, that was... Yeah, I have trouble verbalising my thoughts.
I think I interpreted it a little bit different.
Okay.
I'll be quick. Are we strict on time here? Or?
No.
All right, then. Basically, were you saying something along the lines of... instead of surface cleaning... A deeper clean, yeah. So like the deep clean, the soul surface problems, right? Now the deep clean may be a rearrangement of the furniture.
Okay.
It may not just be dusting. It may not just be a dusting or a mopping or whatever. It may be new flipping carpet. I don't know, right? But
getting to the bloody house, to the root of the problem, as you were saying, Marley. A lot of the problems I think I cause for myself and I cause from others. We were saying. Stems from some kind of discontent. I don't like this part of myself. I don't like this part of you. And maybe if we can work to eradicate ourselves of that, we stop generating as many problems. Maybe if rather than just paving over, I don't know, the spills, we can say there's a leak somewhere. Let me sort that out. Have I hit that more accurately that time, Marley?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Raj, I like what you said about the the broom and the...
You may just need new furniture or something, like, Raj. Like, and it works. This is what I'm trying to say. Like, it works as well. Like, those deep-rooted issues, once solved, they, you know, somehow miraculously lead to a lot of positive change, which I've experienced. And have solved multiple problems which I hadn't thought of even possible. To be solved through a deeper rooted clean, you know.
I guess deep rooted clean. I guess is that what the PD project is about? Is deep cleaning? You've got your brooms and your mops elsewhere trying to clean up the spillage, but at the PD project, this is a deep clean. This is for people that are trying to structure their identities in a way in which they're of, I don't know, they can look in the mirror and be proud of themselves and the contribution they're making to society. I think that's what we're all looking for.
Yeah.
Is that is that a stretch? Or?
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head. That's definitely how I see it.
Yeah, no, me too.
I think you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. Right. To sign us off, part of the reason why I'm glad I had this conversation, again, I said similar to Marley, is... I now have more of a reason to know why I'm doing what I'm doing and why I'm holding you accountable to doing what you're doing. Marley, you said previously your Tom, Dick and Harriet is your mother. I've said my Tom, Dick and Harriet is my sister. It's the same for you, Raj. Fingers crossed. I hope we get to the place where they're one of the 1 million that we've... that we've helped
in such a way that they could look
in the mirror and be as proud as maybe someone that would share in the way that we seek to share, embark on the journey that hopefully we seek to embark on as possible. I don't know. That's just for me to ponder on. Because it will be difficult and it will be long. And if you've told me that maybe there's someone that means a lot to me, that you wouldn't single out and say, yep, that person's right there. I don't know a single person, myself included, that is. I'm not down on my tools until I've helped you help them by helping yourself. Perfect. Right. Anything else you guys wanted to say?
I'd say just continue from what Raj was saying. They already are becoming part of the 1 million. I know in my family structure, small improvements are being made. you know, I've seen changes as I've gone down this path. Definitely seeing a change in myself and the people around me as I've went on this path, you know. I just recommend it to anybody else out there. You don't know who you're becoming. Bang, bang, bang. That's it. Thank you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the one thing I would add as well is it's never a bad thing to like it as well. I found that I've enjoyed my life so much more being conscious of my internal problems and actually facing them rather than just sort of surface cleaning and moving on, you know. And when you start enjoying the process, you get addicted. And sure, of course, you know, you realise that along the way, complete addiction is bad. You have to scale back. You have to do this, that, and the other. But that's also part of the process. And yeah, so all I'm trying to say is try and enjoy it as well. You know. Yeah.
Perfect.
Right. Hey, Raj, you're a legend, mate. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Right. Thank you very much, both of you. An absolute pleasure. First episode of season 4. So that's episode 18 now. An introduction to Skeetism. Let's hope one day we're looking back at this very, very proud.
Yeah. Mane, Salah, and Firmino. Mana, Salah, Firmino, lacing up.
Perfect. Right. I'm going to stop recording. Thank you for listening and making it this far. As always, all of the information about the PD Project is available online at www.pdproject.co.uk. In particular, information about this Skeetism is available under the About page and linked in the description of this episode. If you want to get in contact with me, please do. That email is pdproject.co.uk@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. This has been Eunice Skeet. Until next time, goodbye.
It's a different kind of pain, it's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness, crafting your happiness. It's a different kind of pain.